Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the best ways to grow your brand and generate revenue is to do public speaking. You get in front of a lot of audiences, you get to travel around the nation or around the world, depending on your preference, and it's just a really extraordinary opportunity. And we're going to talk about in this episode how we can engage in lucrative public speaking, how we can make a solid income by engaging in public speaking. And who better to talk about that than today's guest, who has a very inspirational story and has risen to become a lucrative public speaker. So today's guest was predicted not to survive at birth because of a rare bone disorder that stunted his growth and caused his bones to be extremely fragile. But instead of letting his rare bone disorder define him, he decided to inspire millions of people around the world through his work in public speaking. He's spoken in nearly all the 50 US states, 16 countries, and he's presented to big companies like Nike, Whole Foods, Zappos, Walmart, and many others. He's also shared the stage with US presidents, billionaire business moguls, celebrities, and the Dalai Lama. Today's guest for episode 219, give a warm welcome everyone, for Dr. Sean Stevenson. Sean, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm really excited about this conversation. I mean, you're a really successful public speaker. You have such an inspiring story. You did not let the disorder define who you were. And it's just amazing all the work that you've been able to do. But with so many different options we have to inspiring people, like content creation, which is obviously very important as well, but you chose public speaking. And I'm wondering if you could share with us why you chose public speaking as your path to inspiring others and just some backstory on your path to becoming a public speaker.
Yeah, so I didn't choose speaking. Speaking chose me. And I don't say that as a cliche. I actually mean it. And I'll give you a little bit of context. So when I was in high school, I wanted to make some extra spending money to buy video games, candy, and movie tickets. And I applied at 3 different companies for a summer job, and each company turned me down and blatantly discriminated against me. They even came out and said, you're a great guy, you have tons of wonderful qualifications, but we've already hired somebody in a wheelchair and it didn't work out. Or we're not sure people that are buying here would feel comfortable being sold these products by somebody that's 3 feet tall and in a wheelchair. And just blatant discrimination. And that really bothered me. And this was in the early 90s. And people said, well, why don't you sue these companies? And I said, I don't want to have to sue a company that on my first day on the job, I'm like, hey, I'm suing you right now. So I actually went into my own business, and I was asked by a high school guidance counselor if I would be interested in speaking to another high school about what it's like to have a disability. And they said they would give me $75 for a 30-minute speech. And to me, back in the early 90s, that was a lot of money, and I was all about it. So I took that first speech, and I can't say I thought that I would be doing it, 24 years later, but here I am, and went from speaking to high schools to all schools, from elementary, junior high, high school, college, spoke to hospitals, prisons, you know, all across the map, and then got into conferences, started talking way more than just about what it's like to have a disability, started to talk about success, confidence, building a business, and now professional speaking, how people can actually start in their niche of speaking. So that's kind of how I got started. And like I said, it wasn't like some conscious decision that I thought, well, I have a message and I want to get it out there. It was more like, I need some money.
And I mean, now at this point, like, you are sharing your message, and obviously we're going to focus on the public speaking side because Sean is an excellent public speaker. He has spoken on all these big stages, but like you mentioned the discrimination early on, and it's like right now, like, you're an inspiration, you're the role model, but like before all that, with like the discrimination and like where you were like in the beginning, I'm wondering if you could share with us because like some people would feel like life was like didn't do them any favors. So like, how are you able to pick yourself up and get to where you are despite the discrimination and things like that around you?
Yeah, so it's a day by day thing, and you know, 24 years later, it's still a day by day thing. I think that the misconception about people that are, quote, successful, you know, that are well-recognized or a leader in their industry, that they've arrived and that they don't deal with the things that they used to deal with in the early days. And that's oftentimes not true. I still deal with discrimination at times. Fortunately, my resume is big enough now that usually my reputation precedes me in a positive way in a lot of the things that I go into. However, you know, the pick yourself up mentality, I still have to have it as strong today. And it's this concept that I've experienced all these years of, if you get back up, that's kind of been my mantra is, you know, I'm going to get knocked down a lot, and I still get knocked down metaphorically and sometimes even physically. And you have to have that mindset of, it doesn't matter how many times I get knocked down, how many times I get doors closed in my face, how many times I hear, no, we're not interested, you can't do that, that's not in the cards for you, that your mentality is, I'm just going to keep going. And that level of persistence is something that I've, of course, conditioned over time. But it's that, you know, get back up mentality that I know I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most well-organized. I don't even, like, wouldn't say I'm the hardest working. But the one thing that goes for me is you can knock me down a million times and I'm getting up a million and one. And that's something that I strongly recommend for anyone going into any industry, is you have to have that level of perseverance that no matter how many times you knock yourself down, even because that will happen far more than outside forces knocking you down. You have to deal with the person in the mirror that is telling you that you can't do it on some days.
I can see like persistence is something that we do develop over time. So like, I'm like, thank you for sharing those like great insights on that, because like, it's something that like for like listeners, like maybe our big challenge we're on right now is like maybe our business wasn't exactly the way it is right now. But like when you, like with Sean, like the challenges he's been able to overcome had to reach this point is are truly inspirational. So that's why I wanted to ask you about that.
Sure.
And like, just transition now back to the public speaking. I mentioned earlier how you've spoken with like two big companies, like the Nikes, the Whole Foods of the world, and you've presented in front of like all these icons. So I'm wondering, how exactly do you get on the big stage? It's like not just any stage, but the big stage where like the presidents and moguls and things like that are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not going to be the sexy answer you're probably looking for. To get on the big stages, you got to get on the little stages first. And, you know, there's this desire to want to skip the line to, like, how can we go straight to the big stage and not have to spend any time on the little stages? I wouldn't even recommend that if you got that opportunity. I think you want to cut your teeth and develop your thick skin when there aren't the big eyeballs and the masses looking. You know, I heard a great quote that said from the country western band the Dixie Chicks. They said they were glad that they had to play dive bars for so many years because they worked out a lot of the kinks on the smaller crowds before it really, really mattered. Because if you screw up in front of 10 people, only 10 people usually know, but if you screw up in front of 10,000, the exponential value is considerable. So to get to the big stages, it takes a couple of things. One is you have to have the humility to start from the bottom and be willing to speak on those big stages, small rooms on the side. So if you can think of speaking as like a circus, some days it is, there's the main event and then there's the side rings. You know, there's all the little tents that go around the main tent. And when you go to a conference, usually they have the 5 keynote speakers that speak to the whole assembly of all the attendees. And then they have these breakout workshops. And usually they're craving really good content providers who are willing to speak instead of to thousands, either tens or just maybe 100 people. And so getting into conferences and companies that have usually small little workshops, I recommend what we call showcasing, which is you give a talk for free in front of a room full of decision makers that then they're blown away by your talk. They come up to you afterwards and they say, that was amazing. You know, how can we bring you in to speak to our organization or our group? So showcasing, there's a lot of different ways you can showcase. You can showcase by paying your own money. So you pay to get on that stage and hopefully you will have an opportunity to speak in front of decision makers. You can waive a fee, but maybe get your transportation and lodging taken care of depending on their budget. And sometimes if you're blessed enough, you can get paid to be in front of these event coordinators that are in the audience. So you have to be willing to ask this very simple phrase that people think is too simple, so they overlook it. And that is, whenever there's a conference or a company or a gathering of people that bring in speakers, you go to the event coordinator or the person in charge and you say, how do you normally select your speakers? It's that simple. You go and you say, how do you normally select your speakers? And they usually will come right out and tell you. We don't bring in speakers unless they're in our group. So at times I've had to join organizations and be a member for a few years to then get asked to speak on the main stage of that group. Sometimes they'll say you need to do what's called wait for the call for programs, where they put it online and you have to fill out an application and see if you get selected. Sometimes it's good to have a demo video of you speaking in front of a crowd if you can figure that out. And then send that video in and say, here's a sample 10-minute presentation I did at this organization. I would love to speak to one of your conferences. Just let me know what are the ways that you bring in speakers. And if you blow them away in your 10-minute demo, they will get back to you. There's one thing that is the greatest marketing tool of all time, and that's being amazing at what you do. If you're really, really good at what you do, people talk. You know, I've found that that's not the only thing you need to do to market yourself, but that's usually one of the best things you can do.
Sean, I really like that idea of just just like so many different ideas in there, but knowing who the event organizers are, knowing what types of speakers that they take in, because you don't just want to say, hey, look at me, I could be a speaker. Just getting an idea. It's like how we talk about all the time, like getting to know the customer, getting to know what they want instead of just throwing something at them. So it's the same exact thing with an event organizer. And one of the things that I do want to ask you, because there are a lot of people who maybe they're just starting with public speaking, maybe they've gotten a few gigs. Eventually, they want to get a lot more gigs and make it lucrative. So with that in mind, like I know when it is lucrative, like you do more speaking gigs, schedule looks like it's filled up with more speaking gigs. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you plan out your speaking schedule and everything else that you're doing.
Yeah, so, you know, I really recommend people have multiple streams of income. So maybe you have an expertise that you could be coaching or consulting. Maybe you could create some products, both digital and physical, as well as doing speaking, so that way your calendar, you're not just sitting around waiting for the phone to ring, hoping that your marketing efforts in one area will be able to pay the bills and expand your wealth, but rather be able to have all these pillars underneath you of those different niches, categories that I was sharing. You know, if you have royalty checks coming in from a book deal that you signed, or you have coaching clients, or you have an online membership, or you have live events. That's another thing. If you don't want to wait around to get selected to speak at conferences while you're doing the marketing, you can do small events yourself where you find a venue either for a small amount, you know, so that you're not going in with a high overhead, and then just start selling tickets or make it a free event and then sell something at that event that people can continue to learn from you. So that way you're getting the stream of, you know, the live event income as well. So, you know, there's no like set, okay, you should have 40% keynotes and 20% live events and the remainder your coaching. It can be sliced up based on what you like to do. I will say that over the years, I've been grateful that I've had multiple streams of income, because at times when your speaking schedule does dip down and events maybe are canceling, you're not struggling or racing around trying to figure out how to make payroll for your team and all that. But what I look at when it comes to this scheduling aspect is you need to figure out as soon as possible how you can build a team around you. And I'm speaking from experience of what I should have done sooner. I went a very long time without having a team of people that I was working with. And because of that, I did it all myself, and it was very time consuming and energetically draining. I remember for years, I would get emails that were just piling up from people that would meet me in my audience and event planners, and I'd feel overwhelmed trying to get back to everybody. So that's when I started hiring a personal assistant, started off with just doing a virtual person that didn't live in my part of the country. And then from there, it moved on to somebody that actually came into an office, to then finally an employee. And it just grew so that I could have people that were sifting through all the inquiries of, hey, Sean, we want you on your our podcast, or we want to have you speak to our church group, or whatever it may be, to have that person that's a line of defense between you and the outside world, to insulate you, not to try and make you look good, but rather just to make sure nothing falls through the cracks, that everybody's getting responded to, and that you can then focus on the other efforts that only you can be doing. So I would say that a big part of making sure that the scheduling and getting that part of your business handled is making sure that you start to assemble a team.
I really like that strategy for building up a team and being like, that's something I've done. That's the reason Breakthrough Success is even here. I've talked about it a lot. So basically like audio editor, show notes, and a few other things. But you need to have a team behind you, even if it's just a part-time person in the beginning. As Sean mentioned, he started off with hiring someone in a different part of the country, and then that grew into an employee. So no matter how small you start with your team, it is important to build a team for your business, because there's just so many things into it, like scheduling, speaking gigs. It's just one of the many things Sean has to do. And I'm sure we could all relate to just having so many different things that we have to do, such as focusing on our different streams of income. And one of the streams of income, Sean, you mentioned were your books. And in one of your books, Get Off Your Butt, just B-U-T, butt, one of the things you share with us in that book is how we can end self-sabotage and stand up for ourselves. And I feel like self-sabotage is just far too common, whether it's conscious or unconscious. So I'm wondering, how exactly do we go about ending the self-sabotage and just learning how to stand up for ourselves better?
Well, self-sabotage is essentially you want one thing, but you're doing the complete opposite of what it takes to get that one thing. So it's like telling everybody you want to lose weight, and then as soon as you are done telling them that, you're ordering a pizza and eating a bunch of cookies. And that oftentimes there's a whole industry of therapy that could give you a lot of different ideas on what to do with self-sabotage. But the biggest thing that I've experienced in both writing it in my book as well in my speeches is you got to be very clear on these three things. What do you want? Why do you want it? And then how are you going to go get it? And then surrounding yourself with an environment that makes that possible. You know, you can't quit smoking if all your friends that you hang out with are smokers. You can't get in shape if nobody around you is going to the gym. You can't make money if everybody around you that you're interacting with and talking to and getting advice from is broke and angry about how they don't have enough money. You need to make sure you're clear on what do you want, why do you want it, because you got to get that purpose in there, and then how are you going to go get it, and then bathe yourself in an environment that makes that a very enjoyable experience, so that you are getting great advice, you're getting good examples, you have strong support. Another element with self-sabotage that humans deal with is they're oftentimes their own worst enemy, and they're focused on what they don't want, not what they do want. And we call that fear. They're focused on what they don't have, and that's called envy, right? Worrying about what your neighbor has, your colleague, your friend, and then focused on what you don't like, which we also call that complaining. So when you focus on your fears, your envies, and your complaints, you're going to be miserable, and you're just going to continue to screw things up. A way that I like to look at ending self-sabotage is developing a really good relationship with yourself. You know, I am constantly writing in my journal and getting to know myself and figuring out what's important to me. What do I really feel? Where am I holding on to an attachment that's not serving me? So developing an incredible relationship with yourself, as well as hiring experts. You know, I look at whether it's health, wealth, or relationships. I didn't get there on my own, and I'm not continuing to strengthen that on my own. I have people that I look up to and I pay money to. You know, there are people who make it their whole life mission to work on the very thing that you're struggling with, to help you in a relationship when it just feels like you're speaking a totally different language than your partner, to help you understand the mistakes where you're bleeding money if finances are a challenge, and understanding how to get your finances in order, where your health is really lacking. You know, they say practice makes perfect, but I disagree because you can perfect what you suck at. That's why you need good coaches that can give you course corrections. They can, because there's a, you know, this concept of perfect practice makes perfect. Unless you have somebody that can give you the guidance and say, move the club to the left a little bit, or try saying the story this way, or try rewriting this paragraph in this order. Unless you have somebody that has the 10,000 hours of experience and has developed the credentials and the credibility, a lot of the times you could just be perfecting what you suck at.
And I really like that idea of hiring people to help you with your knowledge acquisition. Is something that I also do, but I really like that idea of perfect practice makes perfect, because on that theme, like, you could perfect, like in golf, like your example, the wrong form. You can perfect the wrong thing. So it is good to have that person standing with you who has achieved this result that you want to achieve, and just giving you some pointers along the way. And I mean, you shared a lot of great ways just to avoid self-sabotage. Like, envy is a big thing that we need to avoid, but more on the public speaker side, like, there are a lot of people who feel like they're not getting the results they want to achieve with public speaking. And I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from being lucrative public speakers?
They never really master marketing. They also want somebody to come and save them. They sit back and they act like passion is enough reason to hire them. And it's not. You got to be amazing. You got to be passionate, enthusiastic. Absolutely. But that's got to be part of the default. That's got to be part of the foundation. That's not the engine that's going to drive you to where you want to be in your speaking career. And just to think that somebody from the outside world is going to swoop in and do your push-ups for you, it's not going to happen. You have to be willing to commit to hearing no. You have to be willing to reject yourself. You have to be willing to constantly swing for the fence and email people and talk to people and go to networking events and put together flyers and put together webinars. And you have to constantly be trying new things out, testing them, see what works, making little tweaks, trying it again, getting those coaches' expert advice to see which ways to go and what's not working. But yeah, I'd say the biggest reason why speakers' careers never take off is, one, they're impatient. Two, they're not knowing that it comes down to marketing and sales, and you have to be constantly marketing. You know, just because somebody knows you exist is not a reason to continue to spend money on you. Tony Robbins has been the industry leader in speaking for well over 30 years, but he spends money every month on Facebook ads. Why? Because just because you know about something, it's not making it top of mind. And you got to constantly be knocking on doors, even of people who know who you are. You know, whether it's speaking or writing, you know, when it comes to writing in the publishing world, you know, just because you have a best-selling book doesn't mean the publisher comes back and says, hey, whatever you want to write about the second book, we're going to give you a free pass to make whatever topic you want, and we'll pay you good money. No, you still have to submit a book proposal, a marketing plan. You got to sell your publisher every single book that you produce. And that's the same thing when you do a phenomenal job on stage. If you want to get back on that same stage, you're going to have to do nurturing of the event planning and the sequence of connecting to the right people, because sometimes you'll be working with somebody and then that person will get laid off or transfer or start their own company, and then that inroad that you had is gone. So you can't just ever lay off the accelerator in the marketing aspect of speaking, nor can you ever rely on the old ways of doing things. You know, you got to be innovative. And this is something that I always am thinking about. What more can I be doing that is unique, that no one else is doing? There's a great book called Fascinate, and it's by my friend Sally Hogshead. And it's all about how, you know, well, she has this quote, and it really makes an impact, called different is better than better. And think about that for a minute. Different is better than better means that you want to be that person that stands out. You don't have to be obsessed with being the best. You have to be the one that stands out and looks different than all the others. You know, Seth Godin talks about it as the purple cow. You know, if somebody was driving along by a farm and they saw a purple cow, they would pull their car over and take a selfie with the cow. And it's because it would look different. And what can you be doing to be different and being that purple cow in the industry of speaking, writing, coaching, whatever it may be?
Sean, those are some really great insights. And the marketing is just something that I feel like it's something that you don't want to push the accelerator on, because like content creators, you'd rather like keep creating content or speaking. You'd rather, like, as you mentioned, someone comes and saves you, gives you the gigs, you talk all the time and you have the audience. But there is that marketing element that is just so important for getting people to notice you, getting people to say, I want this guy, this girl, this individual at my event. So marketing, a lot of it does come back to marketing. And you were mentioning a lot of really great books. Purple Cow by Seth Godin, one of my favorites. Seth is he was very critical for my journey. But I'm wondering, in addition to those two books, if you could share with us three more books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. It's all about breaking through your creative blocks. That's a book you could almost reread every year. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, talking about these four agreements that you need to be aware of and stick to in life. It's a phenomenal book that I think could help a lot of individuals. What else would I recommend? You know, I think it all comes down to, do you want to develop your marketing, sales? There's a different book for every concept that's out there. For me personally, I would also recommend The Alchemist. You know, that book has been an inspiration for me my whole life. Well, not my whole life, but since I was, my whole business life pretty much, since I've been an early teenager. And, you know, it's a great parable about you're in charge of your own destiny. And I would recommend it to anybody who hasn't read it yet.
Sean, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, marketberry.com/E219. We'll also throw in Content Marketing Secrets in the show notes, my book, and you guys can get that, marketberry.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Sean, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
How can I get the peace on this? I find that there's a lot of tension in growing a business, and a lot of stress can show up. You're going to miss the mark far more than you're going to hit the mark. And, you know, people don't learn much from winning. You know, they don't really learn when things are going well. But when things are challenging and there's, you're facing tragedy and drama and chaos and upset and disappointment, that's when you really need to ponder, and you got to really develop a great strategy within to get to peace on it. Let it go. You know, the Buddhists have said this for a very long time, that attachment leads to suffering. And I so agree that you need to let go of those attachments and really ask yourself, how can I get the peace on this? I think that would be, you know, a little counterintuitive on business, but I do believe it helps.
Sean, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Sean, head over to seanstevenson.com. That will all be in the show notes. But if you go right on the main page there, there's the Lucrative Society that's waiting for your general admission. You get free ebooks, videos, and audio about speaking, coaching, and personal growth. Again, that is seanstevenson.com, which will be in the show notes. But Sean, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you for having me.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn